Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson, and today we're talking about Christmas. Yep, even though it's just rolled into October, it is time for business owners to start to think about Christmas, whether it's your busy time of year or it's the Christmas lockdown for your business and your staff. Either way, there is no doubt that whether the restrictions are in place potentially at the Christmas time or leading up to Christmas time for a bunch of industries, or the disruption to cash flow that may reduce cash reserves for the lockdown period, that this Christmas is going to be different for all business owners. So we wanted to have a bit of a chat about that. It links into the last few podcasts we've done. But we also want to cover it off. How do you also make the most of this time of year? What are the things you need to think about with your staff and payroll? And also, how do you look after yourself? It's been a long year for business owners, so we have a bit of a discussion about well-being. So joining me on the podcast today is Shelley Dixon, who's our Chief of Business Development based out of Christchurch, Ethan Harrocks, who's our business partner based in Dunedin, and joining us for the first time on the podcast is Angela Mulcahy, who's one of our bookkeepers based up in Auckland. So we've got a range of inputs and ideas for you leading up to Christmas. If you enjoy the podcast, please subscribe where you're listening to this podcast, and if possible, give us a rating. The thumbs up or a 5-star would be much appreciated. And make sure you check out all the social media channels on Rightway for all the updated content and ideas that we have leading up to this busy time of year. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Ange, Ethan, Shells, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Joe.
G'day.
And on video as well. And I am doing this podcast from the place you shouldn't do anything audio recording, which is my garden, because I'm in the situation of level whatever, 3 lockdown, and got my tradies at my house and I can't go anywhere else. So we're going to roll with it, but it could be a disaster because it's Auckland and it could rain at any given time. So we will see how this goes. So today we are dropping the C-bomb Christmas. It's just rolled into, what are we today? 5th of October. Yeah. And normally we always put information out every Christmas on, there's a lot of planning and just making sure people are prepared for the Christmas shutdown, whether it's a busy time of year or whether it's your quieter time of year. But with the recent lockdowns we've had, there is no doubt, and restrictions we still, and I think after yesterday's announcements of the roadmap for Auckland and the rest of the country, there is no doubt there'll be more restrictions in place potentially by Christmas, still at Christmas, when people are obviously normally making hay in certain industries, hospitalities, etc. So it's a bit of we've done this a little bit earlier to sort of talk about this. And Ethan was on a podcast with Dave where we talked about adapting in the new world. So if you haven't listened to it, it'll be the one belief this on your feed and check that out, because we talk about how to operate in this new environment. But there's a couple of things we want to talk to today. And I think, look, we'll start with cash. It's top of mind for all business owners at the moment. Shells, as the ex-banker in the room, there's going to be a bunch of people that normally will have a bunch of cash reserves in place by December the 23rd or whenever they go on holiday, which will cover their rent or cover the salaries and holiday pays for their staff and whatever else supplies that they have to do. And we also know from Xero data that January is the lowest cash point that most businesses have of the calendar year because of the reduced sales activity, so on and so forth. So the buffer that people have, it's probably not there. Like, talking to the clients you have, Shells, what advice have you started to have? What's the conversation you've had about this subject for people that are going to close down over Christmas?
Yeah, look, cash reserves are tapped out for everyone. And I just want to take a moment to send our commiserations to our Auckland listeners here, because you guys have had a really tough time, right? You've not been able to rebuild momentum. And so all of those businesses are still somewhat closed down. So even outside of Auckland, talking to my clients, because I'm Christchurch based, they are tapped out too. The momentum returning from this lockdown period is actually quite slow. And so all of the cash reserves, people are tapped out. You're 100% right, Stu. There's no way between now and Christmas of gaining that momentum back. I don't actually believe that that's probably an option for most people. Hospitality numbers are down. People's buying behaviours have changed. So my message is, speak to your bank now. What's your close down period look like? What is your short-term cash flow need going to look like? Because I have a little bit here about the 3 R's, recharge, rest and relax, which I'll talk about a little bit later. But you are going to need support from your bank. all of the businesses New Zealand wide are going to need bank support this Christmas period, because, you know, all of our revenue has stagnated for a period of time. Lots of the country can't do anything without Auckland, Stu. Like, you know, lots of industry has halted because Auckland is in lockdown. So I think you need to engage your bank and have the conversations now and be mindful that you are going to require some short-term lending. You've got to map out what your recovery strategy looks like, though, which is going to be really important coming into the new year. So we've got this period where life, sorry to be the bearer of bad news, is probably going to be like this for a little bit longer. And that's just going to be our reality. Stu, podcasting from Auckland in his backyard, that's life now, right? We're all scattered around in different areas. So let's make the best of a bad situation. Speak to the bank early, engage the bank early, speak to your advisors and accountants around you. What does recovery look like for you? And I do really mean recovery. Like, what's the plan? What's the plan after you've had a closed down period and a break? How are you going to gain your momentum in the new year? Because for me personally, I don't think it's there right now.
No. Ethan, you know, you've obviously been working, I know, a lot with the clients recently on cash flow and forecasting and trying to get an understanding of what they need to think about. When we talk about going to the bank, what do you need to go to the bank with? And look, we've got plenty of blogs and stuff on this before, but Shells, probably you've had this situation as a banker before, that it's intimidating when you know times are tough, that, you know, gosh, I'm going to have a difficult question. But you can be prepared for that. So, Ethan, what's your advice of going, hey, like, I need to get my stuff together here. Like, how do I go and best prepared for that conversation with the bank?
Yeah, and we did touch on that, I think, in a webinar maybe a month ago during COVID. And essentially, your best plan of attack is to have your business information as up-to-date as possible. And certainly includes your most recent financial statements. You'd certainly want to have your financial statements from the last financial year, probably 31 March or 30 June, depending on where you are. And then you'd also want to have your previous year's one, so 31 March 2020, and then the up-to-date balance sheet and P&L at the ready to answer any questions the bank might have.
And Ange, that's a lovely segue to you as the resident bookkeeper on the call. And I guess, look, Ange, in your role, you're in working quite closely with a number of our clients on quite an intense basis, making sure what Ethan said is up to date. But not all clients use bookkeeping. That's cool. But what are, you know, when you pick up a new bookkeeping client, what are the common things that clients are not doing within Xero? Because as Ethan said, like, up to date information is the key to actually understand, one, where you are now, but also you need that up to date for the bank. So what are the couple of things, Ange, that business owners really should be focused on in Xero to make sure it is up to date and useful for decision making?
I suppose it's looking at how they use Xero initially, like making sure that they understand what the information is, why it's important to have, you know, such data integrity in there, like what it can do, like it makes it easier to go to the bank and you know your position. I suppose when we first look at a file, it's sort of training, what does the business look at? Like, where are they looking at different types of revenue streams? Are they wanting to sort of do project-based so we can see the costs and the loss of a project so we can track certain things that they need? So it's really nutting out what the business needs, and then we can show them how to use it in a way that's going to be effective for them and they understand, because also everyone's going to look and have a thought process that's slightly different. So I really like to get involved and find out what that business wants, what their goals are. So we're able to then create a process that makes it easy for them to go in and view what they need to view, as well as having the data for, you know, different businesses and suppliers. Like, they're making sure that they're up to date with things and their invoices are going out correctly. So it's kind of like a two-step. You want to know what they want, and then you want to, you know, make a process with them to make sure it's streamlined and it's easy, like, because that's the thing that you want. You want to make sure it's easy for every single business and it's not something you're scared of. Yeah.
And I think, touching on that, Ange, you've kind of mentioned a good point there. It's about setting up correctly at the start to make it easy for yourself. Would it be fair to say a lot of clients are kind of just going through the stock standard process of how Xero works out the box, rather than actually looking at actually, how do I get this working for me and my business? So one, get the information, but also to make it easy. You know, it's not like a time soak.
Thought process too, because there's different screens and different things, and it's just them understanding what each step is and why you do certain things, and you know what is important for your business. So it's just, you know, I love the fact that you're sort of working with them to educate them and empowering them. Like, that's what, you know, we're there for, because we want to work together. We're part of their team, and, you know, we'll make sure that it works for them in the way they're comfortable with. I suppose, you know, with tradies or, you know, similar, like, I love, you know, showing them how to use HubDoc on the go on their mobile, so every time they buy a petrol receipt or something, they're just taking a photo of it, and if they lose that receipt, it's fine because it's already gone into zero. So you know, it's making those things really easy and everyday, and I suppose, you know, it's more about making it regular for them, like they're, you know, you're making it that they do all the time. So
it's part of the process.
Yeah. Little and often. Little and often, isn't it?
Tradies now, Ange, are cringing because their wives are going to find out actually how many pies they now consume. Take the photo of the receipt.
That's right.
That is a tradie stereotype right there, isn't it?
It is, it is, but it's true, is it not? There'll be tradies going, yes, a great pie.
So coming, Ethan, back to you, like, what if you are going into a period of reduced you know, when you reduce capacity to earn revenue because it's a closed down period and all that kind of stuff. And look, we don't know if the normal closed down period of New Zealand going on holiday 3 weeks is going to translate into what we normally think. So we're going to, who knows about that? But what other things would you advise a client, rather than the bank part, but just to manage cash really well over that kind of 6 week period, which can be a bit tight anyway, even without lockdowns?
Yeah, so two things and two sides of the equation. One would be, what expenses do you have coming out, and when, what date are they coming out?
Yep.
Set them up to be automatic payments, or put them off as much as you can, or at least to a point which suits you the most. And what revenue have you got coming in, and can you get that in sooner rather than later?
Yeah.
Something that I thought was really interesting and a great initiative from one of my clients who does have a Christmas shutdown period in the fast food business. They shut down, I think it's a week or two over that Christmas period, so there's literally no money coming in. So what he does is he generates a secondary revenue stream by manufacturing a sort of a beef Wellington type product that can be sold all around the country rather than just here down south in Dunedin. That proved really popular last year.
Yeah.
So by generating enough cash through that tides them over that shutdown period, whilst also testing, well, not just testing the market, but growing his brand recognition into all sorts of positive avenues moving forward.
And it also creates a kind of seasonal marketing for him, because he's doing that at a certain time of the year. And so it sort of goes into that, you know, creating seasonal marketing for a business.
Yeah. So I think it's been a shutdown period. It's not all doom and gloom on the financials. It's doom and gloom on the financials if you're shutting up shop and your mentality is doing the same thing. But if you're thinking, well, my business is closed, but I'm going to take the opportunity to put some of my effort into something else and test it in this period. And you can actually see some really good results from that, or at least have a go.
Yeah, and it's the old adage in some ways of the old gift voucher, or, you know, if you're a restaurant doing some vouchers and stuff, if you say Central City, Christchurch or something, and you know that it's going to be quieter through that Christmas period, well, maximize the time now. And it's instant cash, as you said, Ethan. Yep, you know, you're obviously going to have to fill that at some point, but it's not now. And so in some ways, I think it is, and we talked a little bit on the podcast with Dave last time, it's about being a bit creative around how you can grow. I know a number of restaurants who, you know, in Auckland, who are doing gift packs that you can deliver and that you cook the meal at home. So things like that, that people, even though we're in a different situation, still want to enjoy a festive time and a festive, you know, holiday season. So how do you bring that to their home, I think, is somewhere. And one of the messages we talk, it's more the distribution channel that's actually changed rather than anything else. So think about how you can distribute product differently.
Yeah.
Shells, I think you're going to say something there.
I was just like Kiwi Ingenuity, right? We're famous for doing that. It is about adapting in this new world. And so Ethan's customer, that's wickedly awesome adaptation, right? So we all need to challenge ourselves about what we're going to do over this period to keep the wolves from the door, like, and just try something different. Like the first lockdown, first wave of COVID, lots of people went online. So I guess my challenge to people listening is, what have you done since then to adapt further and change further? Because that's, we really need to do that to evolve from here.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Angie, go.
Oh, no, I was just going to make a point with when you are thinking about and planning over that lockdown period and suppliers, you're worried about how to pay them. I think the best thing is to communicate. So I always encourage clients to actually communicate with the suppliers, let them know your cash flow, you know, is going to be tight, work out a payment plan, because, you know, we're all in this together. And if you can work with someone, it's better than just ignoring the emails, because then that doesn't go down so well. So,
Yeah. I think the opposite plan.
Yeah.
And the other point is, I think if you're an invoice-based client business, which might be lumpy, is also speak to your customers and don't wait to the 23rd of December and go, are you going to pay that bill? Because once they're off, they're not going to pick up your bill
post that. 2 weeks until they're back.
Exactly. And that's a big difference, isn't it? Two weeks of, you know, 10 grand from an invoice being in the bank, you know, on the 23rd versus on the 10th of January could be a big difference for, depending on how you pay your wages and all those sort of things that come out. And, and Ethan, I guess the other key part here we've got coming up into January that people need to start thinking of is prov tax, and obviously the you know, payments coming out in January. What, you know, when it comes to the old tax man, what can clients do around their tax payments and what's due potentially in January?
So it's important to have a good handle on the financials, the current financials, to know what tax is actually going to be due then. If you're a provisional taxpayer, traditionally that 15 January will be your second provisional tax payment for the year. So if you know and you're working with your accountant on just where you're at from a profit position up to the just before Christmas, you'll know how much tax you should actually be paying. There's certain rules in the provisional tax regime that sort of state you don't necessarily have to pay all of your tax at that date, depending on what's been assessed previously and whether or not you ever wanted to estimate or change things up. So there are some flexible options there. So just because you feel like that is what you've been based on previous years, you should be paying that then, doesn't necessarily mean that you have to. So I guess the important thing is to front foot it with your accountant. The accountant or yourself can front foot it with the IRD.
And I think the big thing there, Ethan, is that, you know, based on lockdowns, profits levels of previous years will be different compared to previous year, will be different, as you said. So getting that up-to-date position, really important to make an informed decision, which links back to Andrew's point about, and your point earlier about, make sure zero is up to date so you can have a good view.
Yeah, it is worth noting that there are several concessions the IRD is allowing based on whether or not you've been affected by COVID lockdown periods. And one of those is that you don't always have to make payment on the set date as long as you've paid all the tax by a certain date in the future. So just
that's
another
quite
example.
Helpful.
Just another example of front foot it. If you've got concerns, don't just put your head in the sand and ignore it.
Yeah, awesome. So let's talk about some, I guess, it's like every bloody team's call. Oh, is that a swear word? Do I have to put the explicit on the podcast now? I'm not sure. But every like thing we talk about is COVID. So let's not talk about COVID anymore, even though it's top of mind and it is for business owners very, you know, it is hard. But, you know, we've also got things at this time of the year which are important just to be on top of anyway. And, you know, tax is a really good point. But, and, you know, it is obviously a payroll time of year which can get a little bit, I would say, confusing, but you may not be on online when you normally pay your payroll. You know, it's some seasonality. You've got lots of public holidays in there. At this time of year, Ange, what, you know, coming into Christmas, what do people need to really start thinking of when it comes to payroll? And I guess that's also that things with staff may have changed slightly. So what's the top tips around payroll and making sure that's planned out for the
Christmas period? You've got to look at the two types of customers, I suppose. You're going to have retailers who perhaps over a Christmas period are going to get more staff, like they'll need more staff. So it's sort of thinking about you know, maybe looking at last year, what you went through, did you have enough staff? And, you know, as, and then you've got the other people who are shutting down. So making sure that you're aware of, you know, is your staff going to go on annual leave, because, you know, that's also another loading, and just making sure that you're aware of what's coming up with your staff and what they're doing. And also, I suppose, that with payroll and your employees, as the employer, you need to always communicate with staff. Do not just assume that they are aware yep. of the public holidays, or they are aware that they're going to go on annual leave over this time. And, you know, I always encourage with payroll, because it's so personal, everyone wants to get paid, so you make sure that's the most important thing. And, but also, you know, it's just put everything in writing. You know, if you think in your head that, you know, what's going to happen, or when I'm, the date that I'm going to pay them, if it's a different day because you're planning to go away, you need to inform your staff, you know, just keep them aware, you know, of what's happening and when, because, you know, for them, they need to also plan their lives around it. So yep. just talk, and always put things in writing as well, because then if something does come back, you've captured it as well. So, yeah.
And is there a number of days that people have to be aware that they have to pay their staff ahead of a public holiday?
Yeah, so, well, I suppose it depends if people are on casual or part-time, but, you know, even people who have varied days, like you do, you'd look at a month, and if they work 3 out of the 4 Mondays in the month, then, and, you know, something like Christmas Day or that fell on a Monday, then they would be entitled to that pay. So you kind of have to be aware of your staff schedule as well, especially for casuals or part-timers, because if they are sort of setting a pattern, then they are entitled to some
compensation,
you know, public holiday payments as well. So and it's just being aware of, you know, when the public holidays fall, and, you know, what, and making sure that they're captured correctly, you know, put in as public holidays and not annual leave as well, because if someone's got an annual leave over that time, that they, you know, are entitled to that public holiday as well as the annual leave. But, and just making sure it's separated out correctly. And if someone does work on a public holiday, I suppose you also have to go back to what's in your contract, you know, what have they signed. But, you know, there is usually they'll get paid, you know, 1.5 as a compensation for working on a Christmas Day, for example.
It's a good point, and you make about the annual leave and making sure that it's recorded, and public holidays, everything's been recorded correctly, because the last thing you want is for your leave processes to fall down, or to not work appropriately around this time of year when people are taking a lot of annual leave, and you haven't recorded the annual leave in your system, so it's showing in your payroll software that all the staff have so much leave due to them. It's all accrued. And next thing you know, staff members are having their final pays in a month or a few months down the track, and you've got to do this big payout to them. And you're like, hang on, sure they don't have that many weeks annual leave, but you can't do much about it, you know? No, you've got to be on top of it then.
Yes, that's right. Because they can, you know, because if they're seeing the payslip and they think that that's their entitlement and there hasn't been a discussion for months, then, and there is nothing in writing, then it's he said, she said. And, you know, you do have to, you know, the employer does have to pay out the employee, sorry.
And I think linked to this is, you know, it's about getting it right, but it's also, to your point, Ange, about communication, is we know at this time of at the moment, especially with the borders shut in number of industries, and everyone I've talked to in the vast of industries, getting good people and staff at certain skill levels, whatever, it's bloody hard, like really hard. So, you know, if you've got some good people, you want to just make sure you're looking after them, because, you know, it's an employee's market in that sense at the moment. And so if you want to make sure you retain your staff, like, it's things like the small 1%ers, you know, I will call it, that make a difference. It's things like not communicating about leave or pay slips or just what's going over a period of time. It just slowly nags away at people. And if you know, there's plenty of job offers around there, there's no lack of that, even with what lockdowns are. So it's just making sure you treat your staff well, so that you can retain good people that help run your business and move you forward, and make the last thing you need now is staff leaving.
Yeah.
And I think it's always, Shelley.
I was going to say, I think the other thing is, like, when we talk about retail, like, it would be a big hiring time for retail over the coming months, right? The university students would be like, yes, I need a job.
Yeah.
But maybe people are a little bit gun-shy of what trade is actually going to be like. So I was just going to say, there's lots of temp agencies out there. If you're really unsure what trade looks like, you don't need to commit to people long-term. You could actually engage one of these people and find them, you know, just to temporarily help out. If you don't actually know what the trade's going to look like, that's always an option for you as well.
Oh, Shells, that is a great point. But I'm going to play the devil's advocate here, which be the natural response, going, oh, but a temp agency's more expensive.
It is more expensive. So what would you say to that? It is more expensive, but actually when times are uncertain, you don't know how long you're going to need someone for, right? So.
Yes.
University has a massive break. You might be planning on retail, for argument's sake, I'm going to be really busy through Christmas. Then I'm going to have all the New Year sales. We're in that time where there's a sale all the time for some reason, right? But what if the spending habits of New Zealanders has changed and they're not going to spend as much? Do you want to carry the cost of someone for the 3-month period on a fixed term contract, or would you like the flexibility of being able to pick and choose depending on what trade's actually like? And we've talked about cash flow. So if you wanted to take cash into consideration, then that's a real conversation you've got to have with yourself about balance, right? What's right for you?
Well, you know what it's like, Stu. You've got to pay that premium for that flexibility and for that for that greater level of service, the greater outcome. So it's one of those things.
But it's an excellent point, Shells, because, you know, and we talked before on the podcast about the movement, for example, to shared spaces for leases and stuff. And the benefit that gets is certainty about I'm paying for just what I need as a business owner. I'm only paying for, you know, X amount of staff. I'm not paying for any more or any less. But it's controllable. And I think that's the same things like temp agency. People just thinking a little bit differently and creatively about not only revenue, but out of their costs, going, well, I might pay a bit more, but it's controllable. If I don't get it, I don't have to commit.
Correct.
You know, and I can reduce that. I'll have one staff rather than three staff or whatever. And yeah, there's obviously, you know, do I get the right person and stuff? There's always pros and cons to everything, but being able to control your costs is a huge part of how you navigate cash flow. And there's a lot of costs we have in our business which is pretty fixed, or historically has been fixed. But I think people are moving now more to flexible costing model. You see that with software, and that's just flowing through into other parts of business, I think. So that turns into a nice sort of theme of planning. Like, there is no doubt, you know, you need to sit down on all these points we've talked about so far and actually sit down and have a plan. Now, you know, based on what was released yesterday, if you're an Auckland business in this roadmap, like, there was no dates. And that's the biggest frustration that we all have with that the announcement is what dates and what's needed to move to one's level. So being able to plan is hard. But Ethan, again, coming back to this cash management and planning sort of conversation, like, if a client is faced with like, oh, yeah, great, Stu mentioned on the podcast, I planned, but how do I do that when I don't even know when I can open the doors new? What advice would you give people to sort of address that, one, needing a plan, but also that uncertainty still?
Well, I think you need a forecast that you can easily like flex or manipulate depending on different scenarios. Mm-hmm. So perhaps start with what you think in your mind and working with your accountant is most likely, and then have several different options or abilities to flex up the forecast for worst case, best case, somewhere in the middle type scenarios, and just see how your business will look depending on different alert levels or restrictions and all that sort of thing. That way you can have some confidence that what you think is actually going to be achievable and what will actually put you guys in massive strain coming up.
Yeah. And I think part of the process that gives a lot of business owners is real understanding of what levers, if you pull them, what actually happens to cash flow, profitability, the whole works. And Shells, that'd be fair to say that, you know, part of it's not just what the number says, it's actually understanding, okay, if I do this, it's this outcome.
Correct.
If I have to get there.
Correct. I was speaking to some bankers this morning actually, and that's what they want. They want to understand the assumptions behind the numbers, what's actually possible, and what do they actually need to get through. So, look, your forecasts that Ethan's talking about are so key. They're probably not going to look pretty, though. So to all of those listeners out there, don't expect that a massive profit's going to fall out. Maybe that's what you're used to. That's probably not the times that we're in now, but it does mean that you do need to have great people around you to help you work that out in your system and understand what that kind of looks like for you going forward. And look, an open conversation with the bank is the best thing that you can do. It's not like the banks have been oblivious to this, let's be honest. Yeah. Like if you think about there's some banks' branches that aren't even open normal hours. There's some commercial bankers that are still working from home because their organisations decided to keep them where they are to keep their people safe. So the banks do understand what we're going through. And these forecasts aren't just for people in Auckland. I just want to be clear about that. They are nationwide because... Yep. Actually, we're all impacted by what's going on here. Yes, other areas have a little bit more freedom, but revenue is impacted because of Auckland's situation nationwide.
Yeah, and look, I think a good example, I had a client meeting and they're an architecture firm up here in Auckland, and they've got a number of quite good sized projects. There's about seven on that's coming up. But again, they're like, we think it'll start here, but who knows? Because all trade, you know, we've had 6 weeks of lockdown where all the trade stuff's been now shunted 6 weeks. So everyone's in catch-up mode and getting alignment is really hard. But, you know, it was a really good conversation because it was straight away we saw that there was some gaps February, March, when it came to the amount of work, billable work that came in. They were fine, actually. I think it was for April when a certain project was completed. But it's being informed. Now, is that going to work out exactly? Of course it's not. Of course it's not. Win the world. But... we know, we talk through it. Well, if this project gets pushed back another month, this is what this means. Or if what this one comes forwards. And the business owner said, what this does, it arms me for what else do I need to do in a sales capacity to make sure I've got, who do I have in my referral network? Who are my clients do I need to go and have a Zoom meeting with? Another one of those. But, you know, who do I need to contact to make sure I'm filling the pipeline for the team? And it also played into the Christmas lockdown. You know, okay, what if that project comes down? Do I bring my staff back earlier? So it links into all of this, but having a conversation about it, of course, is it going to work exactly like that? Of course, no. But you understand what could or couldn't happen, to your point, Ethan, about if that doesn't happen, then cool, I'll do this. But if that does happen, that's fine. And it links through all the sort of stuff. And you were going to say something there. Sorry, before I just
say, like, you know, with planning, it's not only like, well, forecasting, you know, when I do the forecasting, we always talk about the bumpy parts and, you know, it's smoothing out those bumpy bits and it's highlighting, I suppose, you know, with forecasting for me is putting in front of the client, just highlighting where it's going to be a little bit uncomfortable and how can we make that less uncomfortable and what do we need to do to, you know, make it, you know, better for the business. And while we do have this time, planning is also about marketing of, you know, the Christmas period. Like how is your business going to be perceived? You know, what's your unique selling points that you're going to give? You know, those sort of things can all be in the planning stages now. And everything, you know, needs to start coming underneath and getting out there for Christmas. And so I suppose a lot of that planning needs to happen so when it is opened up, you can come out guns blazing.
Yeah, good point. Shells, look, we know, and we know this in our organisation, that, you know, we're in October and it feels like it should be December already, the amount, how tired people are, how jaded people are, and business owners have been through the ringer. For this, you know, and it's now 18 months of this sort of seesaw and up and down, but this one, I guess, is a bit more, what was the word that Jacinda used? A more of a tentacle. I thought that was an interesting description of rather than a tail. I was like, oh, your comms person, that's an interesting description. Anyway, I go off tangent. It's been hard, but you can't keep your finger to your foot to the accelerator all the time without bad things happening. Nice. I know that when we were in the last lockdown, we'll put it in the show notes, we did an interview with Craig Hudson, who's the MD of Xero here in New Zealand. He's, you know, they've done a lot about well-being. But Shells, you know, I know you talk a lot to your clients about this, but what's your advice to business owner in these tough times and how they look after themselves and their families?
I think there's a couple of things. Like, mental health is a big thing for all of us, right? Everyone in the world, let's say, because this pandemic is worldwide, right? And we forget that the challenges within our own roles or our businesses is not only looking after our families, it's looking after the people that work for us. And we always come last. Like, you as an individual comes last. So putting your mental health first is really important. Giving yourself the opportunity to take a break. So whether that's going for a walk around the park or a fitness class, walking the dog, sitting outside in Auckland, having a beer underneath the sun, playing with your kids in the backyard. Like, you've got to be okay to be okay with that now, because we all need a little break from that. I also think that people naturally assume that lockdowns are relaxing, and they actually aren't relaxing, because you don't get a chance to relax, you don't get a chance to rest or recharge. For everyone, lockdown means you can't go anywhere. You're inside your four walls with the people that you love to hate during lockdown. Like, actually, I wish I didn't have to see you guys all the time, because that's the changing guard, right? The same face. And so for those people that didn't have to work during lockdown, perhaps it was restful for you, and that's great, but the majority of New Zealand tried to push through. So we actually haven't had a break. There was people that weren't able to go on holiday. So look, my message to my customers and anyone that is listening is, remember that lockdown wasn't actually a break. You might not have had trade. You might not have had income, which is stressful in itself. There are people out there that had young children that challenged their patients on a daily basis, Zoom or Teams calls with kids in the background doing all sorts of disastrous things. I know that we had a few in our organisation, and parents really pushed to the limits. But I think the other thing is, like, daylight savings has not been as exciting for New Zealand as it was. Like, you know, this whole spring forward thing, no one really feels it, do they? Like, everyone's kind of slogged into, like, that whole hour has been real tough. It doesn't feel like summer is coming. And so that's the mental health impact that we're all suffering from, right? We've got to actually take time to enjoy the flowers, take time to enjoy the sun, and you've got to make it a priority to do that. Business is tough, it's not easy, and the balance between gaining revenue and momentum and looking after your mental health is like walking on a tightrope, and none of us are very good at that, right? So that's my message.
And acknowledging it's okay to not be okay.
Yep.
It's okay to not feel okay during this. It's okay to, you know, get annoyed at the people in your house who you've had constantly. So, and I suppose just acknowledging that, it's okay to have those feelings and of guilt and everything else that you go through during lockdown. Just reminding yourself to take it a little bit easier on yourself is, you know, possibly the message that you really want to give people during this time.
I think, look, it's, speaking, from my point of view, I think being in Auckland in my garden is one. I think it's interesting you talk about the daylight savings shells, and you're right. In some ways, it's kind of felt, but it is also the small things that can make a big difference because of, and what a good example is, daylight saving last night after work, played in the garden with my daughter for kicking a football around. It's small things like that that can actually are really important in the current situation we're in, of taking that break, because it's easy just to keep working and keep kind of hitting it. But one, you're probably not productive. But just seeking different ways of actually checking in on yourself, your family, good communication with your family, even though that is hard sometimes, especially to 2-year-olds who don't listen to you. But it is check communication, and I think. One of the things I've kind of leaned into is things like meditation apps and stuff, just to give some space, and it's good. It's really helpful. So we've covered a lot in this 37 minutes so far of the podcast. Anything we haven't chatted about, guys, that we've got? There's plenty.
But I reckon we should have a quick fire round. I'm going to challenge Ethan and Ange for a quick fire round, because I've got mine prepared. So there you go.
So what is a fire round?
Am I not allowed to be? What's involved?
Some quick tips for our listeners for the lead up to Christmas. So mine's admin. So I'm going to give you three tips for admin for everyone listening. Get some out of office messages on your email and phone lines ready to go. What's your close down period? Put up some email banners on your communications to your customers now so they are aware if you're closing down, and actually what skeleton staff are required. If you need them, they're my 3 wee finishing tips.
Oh, go right. Who's next? Ange or Ethan?
Okay, I'll go. But I suppose, so if you've taken the tact of, you know, businesses who are shutting down, I'll take the tact of businesses who are gearing up.
Oh, yeah, nice. Oh, this is good. Agile. Brilliant.
So, you know, for me, freight is really important in this environment at the moment, and it's also the confidence that a consumer has, because I suppose 30% of, you know, stuff online comes back. So you've got to make sure your return policy is trustworthy, because that's very important to customers. And customers always seem to expect at the moment, from just from a lot of articles that I'm reading, that personalized touch. So you want to make sure that, and you're reaching out to your clients. Client loyalty is very important in this time, because, you know, you've got to gain that trust and through your customers, and keeping them there is important to get you through these harder times. And yeah, so I'd say that they were my sort of top tips for
awesome. That was good.
Yeah,
no pressure, Ethan.
No, never any pressure. I think we talked a lot before about getting your staff levels correct, but I think also touch on what you said, Angela, about how some businesses are absolutely gearing up. This is their big time of year. You need to get your stock levels right, whatever industry you're in, if you know what I mean. If you're a retailer or a hospitality or something, it's time when your customers are on a spending spree. Everyone's got it in their mind. Oh yeah, it's Christmas time. I've budgeted. I've done my family's forecast, and I'm expecting to spend this amount of dollars on, you know, our holiday and our Christmas gifts. So for goodness sake, make sure that you've got the products there to meet that demand. So that's all part of planning as well.
You do know that all of our customers can find you online, mate, because now that they all know that you've got a budget for Christmas spend, they'll all be coming your way.
Yeah, it's for our clients. That's right.
You never tell you're an accountant, by the way, Ethan, for the fact you have a budget for Christmas spending.
Yeah, well, take it from someone who knows and implements a budget flawlessly. The importance of having one. But the other top tip I was going to talk about possibly is that if you've had a bit of a tough year and you feel like staff morale has been up and down for whatever reason, let's plan a good works day. You know, within a budget, of course, depending on what you can afford. But do make it a priority. Don't cut spending to the point where you take away the fun stuff and why people want to work for you. You know, be smart about it.
And it doesn't have to be big. Like, staff acknowledgement, it can be minimal. But it's the difference between staff feeling appreciated and not appreciated. That's what I find with businesses that have a higher turnover. It doesn't have to be big, but if they're not, if employees don't feel appreciated, That's when the turnover happens.
Sure.
Do I have to do three as well?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Mine, I'm just going to go on Ethan's point. Like, I'm not an accountant by trade, or ever. But know your numbers. Like, and I know we're accountants and you're bored of hearing it, but this is the time of year to get into a bit of detail. If you need help, like, there is plenty of really good help, like obviously at Right Way we can give you help, but it doesn't have to be intimidating, but just talking through, you know, we talked about earlier, what's coming in, what's going out, what date that's going out, what date's the money coming, all these little things, really, like, just the better prepared you understand that, the easier it becomes, to be brutally honest. And knowing your numbers is a really good starting point for that. And I think the second point kind of touches on that, but embrace technology. Like, you know, says the person who's doing a podcast from his garden, technology is a really good tool, one, to help you get, you know, key information, whether it's from your work management software or your ordering system or point of sale software, if you say a retail or in hospitality. All that is valuable information to make really good decisions. You know, this is a time to, like, if you're a hospitality person, to look at the data on
what items actually are my best-selling items? Get rid of all the rest. Simplify my offering, to Ethan's point. What stock can I get in? How do I make sure that sellable? So using technology gives you good information, but also gives you additional capacity potentially, and also reduces workload. So, you know, now is the time. You don't want to do that in the middle of, you know, the busy season, but just really review some of your technology so you've got some good information. So that's my two tips. There awesome. We go, that thing. Awesome. Cool. All right. Thanks, everyone. And thanks for your time, and speak soon.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much. Keep in touch.